mean, they're as lost can be. We need true salvation, real repentance. We have today a what we would call an easy believism, right? Just raise your hand and say the name of Jesus and you will be saved. That's not it.
No.
We've tried to take the repentance out of salvation. You can't do that. Well, you see, not a lot of people are going to go for that. I'm not selling hot dogs. I'm telling the truth. I understand sales tactics, and I know one when I see one. I was talking to somebody yesterday about Bible versions, and came down to it. I listened and go, if I've got anything in my hand that represses even an ounce of Scripture, why would I use it? Why would I use it? You know, and what is it that's being repressed? So often in this easy believism, what's being repressed is the truth that we are sinners. Is the truth that there is a collapse of a relationship between us and God. And that collapse isn't just me not having chosen Him. There's a lot of people that love to choose Him, but then later on they move on to choose other things. No, when you are saved, there is no unchoosing. There is no going anywhere different. Once you're saved, you're always saved, and you never want to go back.
Amen.
Once you've had a taste of that freedom, you never want to have anything else. And folks, that's what it is. It is freedom. Knowing I don't have to go back to those things. I could be just as happy, if not happier, without them. As a matter of fact, God gives blessings and there's wonderful things in the practicing of His will that cannot be reached or achieved in anything else. If we could just get people to understand that the only way for you to reach the feet of the Father is through repentance. That was what the whole sacrifice was for, to fix our sin problem. Now verse 8, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And we're going to put a pause right there for it. What he's talking about here is these, you guys put so much in your ritualism, right? Don't boil the pot on the Sabbath, it might clean the ceiling. Those different days, different times, different things that they practiced, they had all these rules, all these measurements, all these things laid out for them to prove their holiness. But that's not what that was there to prove. It did no such thing. Jesus Christ Himself accused them of being obsessed with washing the outside of the cup, and that's what that is. When you sit there and when you introduce yourself as your brother so-and-so from a deacon from such-and-such church, all you're doing is patting yourself on the back. I always had a big problem with titles. Not that I don't think people deserve honor that stand up and serve the Lord and give all their energy and attention to the service. I think they deserve some recognition. I really do. But I think people fall in love with the title. I've heard too many people bandy about these titles. These responsibilities that they have. Well, I'm the youth pastor. Well, I'm the assistant underpastor. I'm the assistant executive pastor of the organization of this and that. What? I mean, there was that parade through Mount Morris last summer. Somebody handed me a card for a local church. There was 5 different pastors. How big is your church? You got 5 different pastors. I hope you got at least 6 people coming to that thing. 10 if you count their wives, I guess. I don't know. Like, I hope. You know, there's the pastor of the preaching. There's the pastor of the outreach. There's the pastor of this. There's the pastor of that. Everybody's got themselves a title. But why? That's not what it's there for, to make you feel so good about yourself. Right? I believe that we should call things, I think the titles that we do have for things are there to denote what that person's job is, right? We have a treasurer, we have a clerk, tells us what that job is. If you do a service in this church, you do a work in this church, the best thing that can be said about you is you have a responsibility. That's what that is. Too many people, they get highfalutin about themselves. Right? We think that by certain definitions, by certain practices, well, I've never missed a day in this, and I've always been there for that. We think that means something about ourselves. No, you're supposed to do that.
Right.
That's what's expected of you. Right? Well, I've always tithed. That's your reasonable service. Well, I tell you what, I ain't missed a day in 50 years. Well, number one, I doubt that. People get sick all the time. Stuff comes up. Vacations happen, right? It's impossible. Let's say that you did. If you're available and you're able to, you should. I'm just saying it makes no sense for us to get all uppity in ourselves over these things that we can practice. Well, I've known people who sat there, well, I've memorized the entire Bible. Then how are you still a Catholic? That didn't make me a friend that day. If you've got that much memorized, you've got it here, but it never sunk in, right? It never quite marinated in the brain because you're doing things that conflict with what that scripture says you've memorized. It means nothing. Well, I've memorized the entire book of Acts. Well, you don't act like it. Your doctrine don't match that. So. Though we can practice the minute details, it doesn't say anything about us other than the fact that we are obedient, which we should be anyway. And these guys, they were going above and beyond, down to the part where it almost got superstitious with the things that they were doing. Many Christians, we've got some superstitions. We don't like to admit it, but we've got them. We pick up things. You know, we're coming up on Easter. I've got very strong opinions on the way Easter ought to be practiced. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not here to pick on you nor your chocolate bunny rabbits. It's just, I just think that there's some paganism there. And we call it Christianity because the Catholic Church says that it is. I disagree. And of course, you know, we look at those things. Why? Well, we show up for Christmas and Easter. We're at church every Christmas and Easter. That means nothing. Where is the relationship? It is superstition. Whatever. I tell you what, I don't live perfectly, but I'm there for every Christmas Mass. I'm there for every Christmas service. We all go over to where Grandma goes to church, and we're there. That means nothing to the Lord.
Right.
It is superstition. I've met some people, they make the sign of the cross every time they pass a church. Means nothing. Means nothing. It is superstition at best. Right? And then sometimes we take things too far. You ever hear the expression, oh, well, you know, it's a sin to do that in church. You know, I've looked, I joke about that. I think we joked about that just recently. But some people are serious about that. Some folks are serious about it. Well, it's a sin to say those words in church. Did you know there is no sin that's only a sin based on where you are? There's no such thing. Sin is sin no matter where it is. You gotta respect the honesty of sin because it's the same no matter where you put it. You know what I mean? It's superstition.
We can't say can't cuss at a cemetery. It's a sin.
Buy a sin anywhere you take it. Right. So again, superstitions. These things do not make a Christian. And what Paul is saying is, you know, I came to you. I taught you the truth. I brought the truth to your door. I put all this labor on you. And I'm afraid I wasted my time with you. Because now that you've had the truth, you've gone back to these weak and beggarly elements. Right? It'd be the same as if somebody comes in, they've been attending for a while. You know, we've had some visitors over the last year. I've been praising the Lord for that. But listen to them this morning. You know, but if we had a visitor come, they came for a while. They came forward for salvation. We did all the things. So came not for salvation, but came forward to join the church. And we do all the things we do. We put a vote to it. We put them in the water. We put them through a discipleship course. We teach them all the things you need to know. Right? And all of a sudden, they just up and disappeared, went back to crossing themselves every time they passed a church, and showed up on Christmas and Easter. We'd be quite disappointed, wouldn't we? It's like, oh man, we did all that, and we were so very excited. You know, we had that happen at Flat Rock just before we left. There was a young couple showed up, baptized them, put them through discipleship courses, and everything was good, but she decided that she wanted to, you know, do something else, so she left, and then he decided he wanted to go back to drinking. He didn't think it was right that a Baptist couldn't drink. Went back, and you check in on them now, and both of them are living lives of sin. One of them have had their decisions led to a very devastating thing to happen in their lives. It's very sad. Hey, if you'd have just stopped doing that back when you were a member, you'd have been all right. That would not have affected you if that was no longer a part of your life. But all the same, there it is. Our sin always finds a way to come back and hurt us. It is never there for free. Never there for free. It always takes a cost. But to go back to the ritualism, to go back to the, well, I think I'm a good person, well, I got baptized once, those things, they mean nothing. What we need is real salvation. What we need is real baptism. And we sit there and we pretend that the ignorance is the thing, right? Here's the thing. If we already know, it's hard to feign ignorance, right? If we already know what the rule is, it's hard for us to sit there. Hey, don't you know that's wrong? Oh, I did not know. Yes, you did. I told you 9 times. You knew exactly that was wrong. I had that conversation with a grown person. I know that sounds like something you'd say to a child. I had that conversation with a grown person. Back when I was a property manager, I'd call, hey, listen, didn't you know you weren't allowed to do that? Oh, no, I didn't know. But no, you did, because I went over it when I signed your lease with you. I highlighted it. I told you a cute story. I made you initial next to it so that you would sit there and say, I understand. No barbecue grills on my next to the vinyl on against the building. I had you sign that, and we both laughed. And oh, yeah, I would never do that. Well, you did it, and now you're saying you don't know anything. See, I was clever that way. I'd make them sign the stuff that irritated me, right? So that when they were, oh, I didn't know, I could come back and say, right here, you knew. You're broken anyway. Ignorance is never an excuse when we've already been told. And we try to. Oh, I didn't know. You do. You know, I had a conversation with somebody recently just like that. Well, I didn't think it was wrong. Then why'd you hide it? Why were you hiding it? Right? If Achan hid something under his tent. Why? Because he knew he wasn't supposed to have it. Why do we hide stuff? Because there's something about it we don't want people to know about us. That's why we use ignorance as an excuse. We pretend we don't know. Oh, I had no idea. But our actions tell on us. There's always going to be something about the cover-up that tells on us. No such thing as a perfect crime in the eyes of God. He sees everything. Now, this relapse into ritual is very disturbing, but it is not very hard to understand. In this practice that they had, adding ritual and law together, previous to grace, people could look good. People could stand out. People could be impressive. But under grace, it is hard to do so. Under grace, it's nothing but humility. Under grace, it is nothing but law, love and acceptance towards each other. Because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and everyone's a sinner, and I love you, and you love me, and hey, God loves us both. There is no one person higher than the other. They miss that. Now, why would you say that? Because that is the one thing that I see happen in every generation of people, is you've always got a people who want to be better than other people. There's us, there's them. Good guys, bad guys. In all honesty, the good guys aren't perfect. The bad guys may have some redeeming qualities. More often than not, we hover right here. We do. There's just what? Levels of sin that we're in. Levels of sin that we're in. Right? If I can tighten it up, even so, it doesn't mean that I'm better. It means that I have used the resources God has given me to live a cleaner life. That's all it means. And without Jesus Christ being there, I could be just as bad could be. There is no better in me that Christ did not put there or give me the ability to get there. Again, and I preach this at the conference, it's our responsibility in the end. Excuse me. Our responsibility to live the life, right? The work of making you better happens right here and right here. You've got all the resources God can give. It comes down to you behaving and you getting things right and you being a solid influence. You've got to make those decisions every day. But even though you're making those decisions, you've got to give respect to God for making that possible. Got to show the Lord the love that is due him for handing you all of the resources. So again, I think that was the biggest thing here that bothered Paul, is that they had returned to bondage, so to say. That while they had freedom from the law, they had returned back to it as a form of just picking up these superstitions, picking up these small practices, and then just ignoring what Christ has done. The law was a picture. It was a picture of what was to come. It was a facsimile. It showed. So here's what is expected of you. You fail. You go to hell. But through sacrifice, you can have redemption. It showed the picture. When Christ came, the real thing was there. Do you remember when you were a kid and the ice cream truck would come by? I don't know how long ice cream trucks were a thing. But you go by and you'd see on the side of that truck, what would you see on the side of that truck? The pictures of the ice cream. I want that one. Which would you prefer, the picture or the actual thing? Now to me, once I pointed at the picture or said the name of it when I got older, or after the ice cream truck guy got to know me well enough, he just handed me the thing I wanted. I'd take the ice cream and I'd go. And I'd peel off the wrapper and I'd eat the real thing. I would never sit there and want that picture. That's what the law was. It was a picture. When Christ came, it was the real deal. It was the final sacrifice. And what they had done, disturbingly enough, is they had laid aside the real thing so that they could go back to the picture of it, because the picture made them feel good. It made them feel better. But it's not a matter of what it feels like. It's a matter of what it is. It's a matter of what it is. There are people out there, they are addicted to substances, alcohol, tobacco, drugs of any given kind or sort. And what they do is they take that, they put it into their body, it makes them feel good, right? But it's a lie. Because while you feel good, what is it at heart? It's poison. It's poison. The way that it works is as it is killing certain parts of your brain or affecting certain parts of your brain is releasing this chemical as a response to make you feel good, but it's poisoning you. And you see the long-term effects of these things on the body. So even though it feels good, it's no good for you whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, you ask any EMT out there, it is deadly. Deadly. All right, so as we conclude our Sunday school class, just because something makes you feel a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that it's good, right? So even though they felt comfortable in the old, it did not give them permission to be there. It was more important for them to take what was real than for what they were used to. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for